Look, you're dealing with human beings, right? You're dealing with people and the motivations of those people and their ability to be at their best and perform their best, which, by the way, is good for your business. It's about being strategic with this. It's about planning your way through it. And you say, here's what we have, right? Here's what we have in the way of a culture currently. Here's what the current rank and file is important to them from a cultural standpoint, awareness or execution.
There you go. I love the way you clean up my questions. That's much better.
It's almost always both. And the question is how much of one versus the other.
All right, welcome back to View from Above with my good friend John Berger. A new topic to kind of get into today, and that we have been, a lot of what we've talked about in the past has been just kind of visioning your business and marketing your business and communicating your business. But then once you, there's a whole lot of other things that are going to take place within the business besides just the messaging and the marketing side. And one of the really critical ones that I think businesses may neglect to really look at sometimes, and one that I certainly work with a lot of my clients on with some consulting work that I do, is creating the right culture for your employees and making sure that you're creating a positive work environment, creating an incentive and benefits package and compensation package that is aligning the goals of the business with those of the employees and making sure that everybody's rowing in the same direction. You said that's another area that you think is, I believe the word you said was underexposed in the work environment.
Yeah, well, and it definitely is, I think, grossly underexposed. They don't really talk enough about it in the schools and the education. So a lot of MBAs don't really understand. Look, you're dealing with human beings, right? You're dealing with people. And the motivations of those people and their ability to be at their best and perform their best, which, by the way, is good for your business, right? That really requires that they be engaged and they be in a culture that is positive and reinforcing them to be at their best. And when you do the studies and you read all the various studies about how these some organizations seem to excel and their people do better than others, to me, it almost always is culture is, if not the number one reason why, it's got to be there in the top three for sure.
When I talk to financial advisors and kind of assess how they, you may not even necessarily be looking for it, but in those conversations, you're going to get a feel for how they feel about the organization that they're with, right? And there are some organizations that almost everybody that you talk to, you can tell that they're staying where they are or continuing to work with the company that they're with, despite the culture of that company. Yeah. And then there are others that are staying almost exclusively because of that culture and that loyalty, and they love where they're at and they don't want to change. I have a couple of, one client in particular that I've done a lot of work with, that they just have an incredible culture. They have a lot of fun. They enjoy their work. They mm-hmm. work hard. It's a good work environment. Solid compensation package, and everybody's super happy there. And then you've got others that you talk to sometimes that, again, the people that are there are just there because they, for whatever reason, they don't want to leave, but it's not because of the environment. Everybody's complaining about it. And those organizations tend to have a very high turnover and a lot of difficulty bringing in top talent to the organization because you start to establish a reputation.
Right. And think about it with even compensation wise, I would suspect those companies that have crappy cultures probably are paying even more than they would have to pay fair pay, but paying even more to maintain or keep those people as long as they do. Right. You'll hear from some of these, especially you hear from advisors, and I hear it from middle management folks when we're doing a full on assessment of a business, and we're, I go from the CEO all the way down, or the business owner all the way down, and I make sure that rank and file we're interviewing and we're getting a sense of what that culture is, because to me it's very important. And I'll hear from people, it's like, yeah, if somebody came along and offered me even less than what I'm being paid here and the culture was good, I probably would jump ship. But I'm here because the money's good. So it kind of sucks coming into work. But think about that from how effective that person is on a day-to-day basis. They get up, they go into work, and they're doing it for the money. They're not doing it because they love it. They're not doing it because they're passionate about it. They're just doing it for the money. And I can guarantee you that person is not performing at peak level.
I know an organization that is well known for this. I don't have any firsthand knowledge of it, but one right in your backyard is Google. They have been, I mean, heck, they did a movie about it, the internship or whatever it was. Yeah. They are well known for having a great work environment. And because of that, everybody kind of wants to go to work there. And the companies that are like that get that reputation. Everyone wants to go there. So you end up with 50 applicants for every open position. And the company then gets to kind of have their pick of the litter,
right,
versus, you know, 20 openings and four applicants, where you're kind of having to take whoever you can and pay them whatever you have to. So what are some of the commonalities or the key themes that you start to see in the work that you do, and what defines a good work culture? Because it's going to vary to some extent by industry, by geography, by demographic. There's a lot of different things, but there's always going to be some common threads that are at least on a list of potential factors.
Well, number one is actually paying attention to it. That culture is important to you as a manager, or you as the CEO, or you as the company owner, right? If you put culture near the top of your list of things that are important that you want to make sure that you're maintaining a good culture, that I think, because if you don't do that, if it doesn't come from the top, if the tone of the top is, you know, culture is what it is, I'm going to, you know, hopefully hire people that generate that. You can't dictate that. It's got to be something that is as organic and as natural and woven into pretty much everything you do. So that is number one. And I'll tell you, when we do these, when we go into a new company and we do these interviews, it's instantaneous. Our understanding and we rank everything on a 1 to 5 scale. And if we'll either, it'll be like a 2 or a 1 or a 5. It's very rare that we'll give them a ranking of a 4 or a 3. It's like kind of meh, because it just comes out instantly. So that's factor number one. Because if you have the culture and you want that culture to be there, you're going to hire the people that are going to promulgate and promote that culture and thrive in that culture, right? And those people will bubble up even from the rank and file into positions that are more management or leadership oriented. And because they believe it, and it's just sort of like this self-feeding frenzy of good vibes that just permeates everything in the company. So I'd say that that's the number one factor. Obviously, adherence to basic rules like fairness, being fair, transparency, those two we see as keywords that are running through in general what is being said by the various managers. It's like, hey, you know, I want to make sure that what we're doing is fair, what we're doing is respectful. You'll hear a lot of talk of alignment, values alignment. If people are paying attention to values alignment, they tend to have, those companies tend to have better culture. The language that's being used by middle management as well as upper management, it kind of comes from the top, but the language that's being used is all about fairness, consistency, respect, taking care of people, understanding that you're dealing with human beings and not automatons, right? And everybody's got their own strengths. Everybody has their own weaknesses. Trying to help folks build on their strengths and not necessarily build on their weaknesses, accept them for what they are, be transparent about what that is. And so that everything is just much cleaner and clearer. Those are the basic concepts that I would say we find over and over again.
So when you come in and do some of these assessments, what does your process look like there? Are you kind of asking certain questions to the management team and hearing back from them what their answers are, and then using that to kind of come up with a grading scale or a feedback of some sorts? Or are you actually talking with the employees themselves and getting feedback from those? What does that process look like when you're going in and evaluating culture for a client?
It's all of the above. So I always start with it, you know, generally speaking, we're hired by upper management quite often, because we deal with much smaller companies, by the owner or ownership. So the first step is it's a question and answer. Some of the questions are fairly structured. How would you rank this, that, and the other thing? But some of it is much more interactive. It's like, well, tell me about what are your priorities are. That's one of our, what are your priorities as a business owner for the business? And that's an open-ended question. And they can go all over the place with that. They can say, my priorities are profit. My priorities are having a great place where we have long-term staff that stay with us and we're growing. Our priorities are building something bigger and better than what we already have. You know, you'll hear the gamut of those responses. So, and in that, there is some interpretive side from my side as far as where are those real priorities in this person's mind, and what do we feel is the tone that's being sent down. And from there, from those questions, then we go into middle management, and we're going to ask the same questions, including the structured ones as well as the open-ended ones, although we reframe that as what do you feel are the priorities of the company, as opposed to when I asked the CEO, I said, like, what are your priorities for your company? It's like, what do you feel are the priorities of this company? That's where we start to get that feedback and see, is there an alignment there? Is what the owner wants the priority to be? Is that what the middle management is talking about? And then we're going to go rank and file. We're going to go talk to the person who's in the store, who's helping the customers. We're going to talk to the marketing people who are actually creating the marketing, and we're going to ask them the same questions. What do you think are the priorities of this company? What are your priorities as an individual here in your job? And kind of mash all that together to get a sense of where is the alignment, where is the misalignment, and what is the culture that this company currently has from a, what's the cultural structure here? How full is that sense of culture? Or are we just kind of like hoping that something happens, but really not seeing anything cohesive or replicated up and down the rank and file?
Yeah, and I love the point that you made earlier. Some of the best cultures come from the leadership team making culture a priority, and opposed to just having sort of a passive wait and see kind of approach to it. Because at the same time, you can have situations where if leadership dictates what the culture is going to be, then it's always going to reflect a biased view, I suppose, of whatever that person. I may run a company that I put an emphasis on teamwork, or I may put an emphasis on individuality, or I may put an emphasis on putting in more hours than others. Or there's a lot of different ways you can, a lot of different biases or preferences that owners may have, but that's not necessarily going to always resonate down through your rank and file employees, where an owner who can be open-minded enough to realize that, hey, my workforce right now has these certain key values or core values right now in terms of what they want from work in the organization. And now how can I adapt and mold to that without compromising, obviously, your own core values and along the way, but molding the company around your employees and what their desires are from this arrangement, as opposed to having a very rigid, this is what our culture is going to be, and now let's go find the right fits that are going to fit. Because there is a balance there too. You don't want to go so far that you're letting rank and file run the show all the time. You have to sort of set the tone, but there should be some element of being reactive as opposed to forcing things.
I would say responsive, not reactive, is
responsive. There you go.
More appropriate term for that, because if you're reacting, that tends to mean you're not being intentional about it. And this kind of goes to another piece of this whole process, which is, and maybe this is just me speaking the way I've been trained to speak for 30 years. It's about being strategic with this. It's about planning your way through it. And you say, here's what we have, right? Here's what we have in the way of a culture currently. Here's what the current rank and file is important to them from a cultural standpoint. And here's what I would love this company to look like sometime in the future. And how do we get from where we are to where we want to be? What strategically do we need to do? How much effort do we have to make? And then do we want to make that effort to make that reality, that potential reality, into a true reality? So one of the things is, the stronger your culture is, the easier it is for people to self-select in or out of it. Right? For employees to self-select in or out. Because if the culture is really strong and it's strong in the way you want it to be, your employees, if they don't like that, if that's not in alignment with their values, they're going to self-select out eventually, because it's just, they don't feel appreciated for the things that they think are important. And it's not that they're being, you know, pushed under the rug. It's just, it's, it's human natural selection. They're just going to say, hey, you know, this job over here is going to give me a chance to make a heck of a lot more money. All I have to do is work my tail off. And if the culture of your company is we want people to grow and be better and for the company to grow, and in the process of the company growing, everybody's going to be rewarded to it. That super hungry salesperson that just wants says, the more I put in, more hours I put in, the more money I'm going to make. And if that's what's important to them, they're going to eventually self-select out because it's a cultural mismatch and it just doesn't jive with it. So I think it's really important to understand that the power that culture has in attracting the kind of people you want, as well as letting the people who maybe aren't really perfect for that culture to eventually find their way out. So when we come in, and if it's an existing company, it's been around for a while, it will have its, I'll call it a subculture, which is the culture that is being driven by staff, rank and file, right? And that may not be exactly what the ownership or upper level management really, really wants. We still say, you got to deal with what you have. But as you make the strategic efforts to shift that culture, understand and accept the fact that some of the people who have helped define your current culture are probably going to self-select out and they will have to be replaced. And by the way, you'll have a stronger culture, so you'll be able to attract somebody who is in better alignment with your values. So that's good for the company.
A lot of this just comes back to what you said earlier in being honest and direct in your communications and having a high degree of integrity in when how you're communicating with your employees in terms of what your culture is and what you're trying to make it. If you're in a situation where you don't like the culture that it is right now and you're bringing on someone new who may not be a good fit for the current culture, but you're trying to change it more towards the type of a culture that they will be a good fit for, you can bring that employee on and that be a part of this process of improving the culture. But if you're not careful in the way you communicate that, they're going to come in there and they're going to hate it to start with if they don't understand that we're trying to change this direction. So a lot of it does come back to just being honest and open in your communications with the same as you are with your customers, doing the same thing with your employees as well, and then doing what you say you were going to do and actually living up to the billing of whatever the culture is and what you're trying to do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you can. So I've been on both sides of this equation, right? I've done it as a business owner. I've done it as a consultant and a coach for other business owners. And I've also been an employee in the position where I was brought in as one of the early people as part of a culture change. And this was long time ago. So we're going back to ancient history here. But and it's actually one of the places that has helped me formulate, one, my passion for making sure that how important culture is in the process. And that owner, that manager, who was a manager, station manager in radio, was very clear. He says, we're bringing you in and you're not going, you know, you're one of the few people that's part of what we want this place to become. And there are people who are here who are probably not going to like it. You will feel at times like you have a target on your back. And all I ask is, one, communicate with me. And anytime you feel this is getting overwhelming, let's have a conversation. And, you know, it just made it so much easier to endure what that early process was. And I, being the entrepreneurial, independently minded person, I just actually was even a little more outgoing about my, you know, about how important it was for me to act the way I did, to be consistent, to show up on time, to be friendly and try to encourage everybody around me to be as best that I could be, they could be, so that I could be the best that I could be. And I was basically a rank and file radio jock. I wasn't even a manager at that time. I had some management control because I was a music director position. So I had some places that I was in control, but it was how I operated, you know, some general rules under how I operated. And it was consistency, transparency, looking at things from a non-reactive way, but strategically, and saying, this is what we're trying to accomplish. Here's where we are. Here's where we're going. Right. I just brought all that stuff in. And it really taught me that I could do it and be that agent of change because I had somebody further up the food chain saying, we've got your back. And by the way, it will have a target on it. Are you ready for that? And that was actually the way they framed it. It's like, it's going to be like, you're going to feel like you have a target on your back for a while. Are you okay with that? Is that? And I go, oh, no, that's no problem. I can handle that.
Well, it does help when you know you have support from the rest of the team on it. Last question, I think, on this that I have from the conversation is, how often do you see when there is a misalignment, right, between management, whenever you have a bad culture, right? And a bad culture doesn't necessarily mean these five qualities. It just means that if the current population, your current workforce, if everybody's not happy, then that's a bad culture, right? You can have one type of culture and I can have an opposite, and they can both be good cultures if that's what each of our groups is looking to accomplish, right?
True.
But when you have a misalignment there and you have unhappy employees or a disconnect, is it usually because leadership doesn't necessarily know what kind of culture they want to have? Or is it because they have an idea of what they want culture to be and they just don't really notice that they're not? Because you can very easily think you're creating one type of culture and not recognize that you're harboring the exact opposite type of culture of that, right? And I'll give you an example of this. If I am creating a culture that's all about team success, team success, team success, work for the team, work for the team, and every single compensation package and every single engagement for employees is based on their own individual performance rather than what the team does, then guess what? Everybody's going to be out for themselves and nobody's going to care about the team. Right. And it's pretty obvious why that is, right? So how often do you think it's that they just don't know what they're trying to do as opposed to they think they're doing it, but they just aren't?
So that's a question of awareness or execution, essentially.
There you go. I love the way you clean up my questions. That's much better. Yes, awareness versus execution.
It's almost always both. And the question is how much of one versus the other. And I've seen the gamut. I've seen best intention ownership, wanting something to be one way, but basically they've done nothing. All of their decision-making processes up to then have been counterproductive to the goal. It's just like everything else in life that's planning-oriented. You are where you are based on the hundreds of tiny little decisions you've made over the last 5, 10, 15, 20 years or whatever, right? That's just the sum of all those small choices. So if you can start aligning your choices a little bit better along with what it is you're trying to achieve, that will happen. So I've seen companies where, despite the fact that they are totally incompetent at making the decisions that are in line with where they go, they still have some decent culture because they just happen to find the right people and those people have had some success. And I've seen ones where they know what they want and they just can't figure out either how to break the cycle of the current staff that are there that are running ramshod, or the things that they've tried to do just haven't been as successful as they wanted them to be. And we help on both of those. One, we can help you say, are the decisions you're making appropriate? And then are the decisions you're making, is there something we can do with those decisions you're making, which are the right decisions, but to make them more effective, how they're framed, or is there some communication thing that's missing, or it could be a gazillion different options there. And I will also throw in one little additional thing. There are two types of cultural issues that we're trying to understand. A, is the culture an alignment issue, or is the culture a toxic issue? And both exist in a lot of businesses. And we're gauging, if you're having a culture problem, is it just alignment, or is there a level of toxicity which does need to be eradicated before you're going to get the rest of your alignment?
Awesome stuff, as always, John. Well, I appreciate your time. If you are new to listening to the show or haven't heard us say it before, John knows his stuff and has done a lot of consulting work with small businesses and certainly sound like you're pretty knowledgeable in this particular topic. So we used to have, I was a part of the Carolina Panthers, like, unofficial fan club. And when we stunk for so long, the t-shirt said, change the culture. If you need somebody to help you change the culture, John very well could be your guy. So all his contact information, everything will be in the description of this, whether you're watching it on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you're at, there will be a way to get in touch with John and he can help you change that culture. So thanks as always, man. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Take care.